Welcome to the More Than More podcast, where we discuss building meaningful, impactful businesses, careers, and lives through real estate.
Welcome. We are here with some special guests today talking about our market update. So have those guests introduce themselves and we're going to get rolling. We've got some good stuff to cover here in the next hour.
Hey, I'm Gina Swanson. I'm in the Des Moines market, Urbandale, and I have been in with Century 21 for almost 10 years.
I am Justin Versteg. I service Southeast Iowa out of the Pelham market, and I've been in real estate just under 2 years.
And Dylan DeBrain, and I hate to go after you, Justin, because your radio voice is just impeccable. And I think it's a little over 20 years now in the business. And Mr. Bouchaw.
I am here, yes. Travis here, and excited to kind of lead the way on this one today. So I've got Dylan as my sidekick, but we're here with some guests with some great knowledge, talking about their local markets, expanding into what's going on nationally, and then the conversations that we're having with our clients. How do we discuss what's going on right now with our buyers? How do we discuss what's going on with our sellers, especially in relation to markets, but also what they're hearing from those other talking heads that know a lot, especially when it comes to statistics. So, but let's start. We're seeing, obviously, since we had our last market update, that effective rate across the United States is 8%, which is a crazy number. What reaction are you getting from your clients, from your buyers, from your sellers? Because 8's a scary number.
I would say a couple things. First, a lot of times I don't think buyers understand that it's 8%. So what we're seeing is we're still working with buyers, and then they identify a house that they want, and then we have the lender run a payment, and that's kind of where that shock hits. So my team and I have been doing a lot of educating now when we meet with people, and even, you know, I have clients that I've been working with for 3 years, and, you know, they have to find the right house, and we go to the house, and that's one of the first questions, or I even bring along with that with me, like, hey, this is what the payment's going to be on this thing, just so that they have an understanding of what's really happening in the market. So I think a lot of people are hearing things on the news, which most of what I'm receiving from people is like people who aren't in the market, mm-hmm. who are just like, hey, Gina, how's it going? Holy cow, what's going on with rates? So most of my conversations with people that aren't looking is about what's happening with the rates. And then with my clients who are in the process of looking, it seems like it's taking a little bit of time for them to understand what's really happening.
No, I think I agree with a lot of what she said, but at the same time, it's one of those where that shock does happen, especially when they start to run the numbers. We had a conversation downstairs of some individuals who are wanting to kind of move across town, not a huge upgrade in home, and that price difference in $75,000 at this change could be $1,400 a month. And so it just doesn't make sense for them at this time. But for some, it's still a great time to buy. I mean, in certain price points.
But let's go back to that. You mentioned a little bit about that ability to move up, but not move up significantly. So a $75,000 price difference is going to lead at the current interest rates to a potentially increase of $1,400 in a monthly payment. What, you know, aside from the shock that Gina mentioned, there's initial shock. What are the follow-up conversations to that? How do we deal with the shock that we're maybe running into a little bit from clients?
Well, a lot of it is just understanding if that is the right time or understanding the rest of their financial outcome. And so one of the situations we did was, you know, they did a lot of soul searching and changed their down payment amount. And we actually got them into the house and changed some scenarios with when they sold their house, paying off certain debts. And then it made a lot of sense for them. But at the same time, the outlook wasn't great for some. And, you know, it might just be a time to sit on the sidelines for them specifically.
Gina, you'd mentioned the shock. What's your follow-up to that?
A couple of things, like really having a conversation of why do they want to move? Like, what's the motivation? I'm talking to a lot of clients about 2-1 buy downs. I have lenders that are running stuff for me so I can be proactive in helping them understand how that works and what kind of savings they would have. I think there's still a need. People are always still going to need to move. So my people that were on the fence that, you know, for the last few years, people have been able to move for what I call for fun. Like, you know, it was, you know, it's like, hey, like, we can get a bigger house and my payment's going to be less and I have all this equity in our home. And so now it's getting back to being a little bit, I think, more of a normal market where we really have to think about why are we moving and what's our motivation and does this make sense? And how can we maybe creatively do it by, you know, different products, mortgage products. So yeah, I think the shock is really, the market's been kind of up and down for the last year. So I would say that most people are just like, yep, we had a buyer meeting the other day and I said, tell me what you know about what's happening in the market and had her kind of explain, what she knew about the market. And she said, I really want to have a house of my own and I'm okay with having to pay that, knowing that it's going to go down. Right. And, so yeah, I think you just have to really understand what the goal is and then talk through it.
Good. Can you tell us a little bit about the buy downs? A lot of our agents, especially our newer agents, Justin, he said he's been doing this for 2 years, wasn't an agent when we used to discuss what a buy down even was because it wasn't necessary. So what's that process looking like right now with your buyers and your lenders?
Yeah. So, I'm really fortunate because I have a lender that I can call pretty frequently and can run scenarios for me, and can tell me what's going on in the market. But a two-one buy down is essentially you're able to buy the rate down by 2% for the first year, and then the next year it's 1%, and then it goes back to what the rate currently is. So, what I like about it, which is a little bit different than when ARMs were kind of crazy and when ARMs got into a lot of trouble. Before the market crash, is that it's very specific as to what's going to happen. And then the price and the cost of that buy down is included. And most sellers, I feel like, especially if something's sitting on the market for a while, are open to, you know, giving them paying their buy down, which actually significantly saves them more money than if they just did a $10,000, you know, if we negotiate a $10,000. So it's really talking to your client and having them understand. And what's great about what my lender can do is that it's in a spreadsheet. So they can easily see every month. In one case, they were saving about $600 a month for the first year. Oh. And that's pretty significant.
So are these short-term buy-downs?
What do you mean by short-term?
They're not buying down the rate for the full 30 years, are they?
Correct.
Yes. Yep. It's just for the first 2 years.
And so I've seen a lot of interesting analyses and discussion about this because it's certainly saving them a significant amount of money in the short term. But that $15,000, let's say it costs you you could get 15 grand off the price of the property or money could be invested into a buy down. Over the life of that loan, is the buy down the better option for a buyer?
Well, I would say
if rates are coming down, then we believe it is.
Correct.
Okay.
Correct. If it's not, then they're back at, you know, after the end of the 2 years are at 799 with the rate, what they'd currently be paying.
But you've still got a principal amount on that loan that's significantly higher over 30 years than you otherwise would have. I'm asking the question because I've been curious about this myself. I haven't seen the numbers play out, but I suspect that it sounds a lot like short-term thinking. Like, yeah, oh, well, we can still afford it because I can get a buy down to 6% for 2 years. But for the next 30 years, you have that additional principal on that loan. And I'm just curious about if that is always the best advice for a buyer. No one's seen any analyses on these play out?
Not specifically, but, you know, to follow up on the 2-in-1, the nice thing is I think a lot of them are expecting a refinance. And so the other thing with the buy down is that if it doesn't make it through that first 2 years, they get that additional, the premium money, back. They get that premium put onto their principal. And so it's not like they're losing it.
Explain that.
So let's say next spring rates go down to 5.5. You can refinance the loan. Whatever's left on that amount from the seller proceeds goes to towards your principal rather than you losing out on all that interest.
And what prepaid amount of money are we talking about here to accomplish those 6.5% rates on a buy down? Do you know how much these builders are chipping in?
I have not been working with the builders on that. Are you?
No, it's price specific though, right?
Well, how much is the seller on a average sale like on a $300,000?
It's my lender. The lender themselves also give part of the premium. So it's like they give money and then the seller gives money. It ends up being like 10. I would say
we're talking about
10,
north of 10 grand.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And that's what all I'm asking is that 10 grand short term, that's a significant bump down on the interest rate. And so certainly it makes the house affordable for people. I just wonder 5 years from now, that 10 grand down the line, we're going to refinance down to 6 anyway. Mm-hmm. But now for the rest of the ownership tenure of that property, there's an additional $10,000 of principal accruing interest over a 30-year life cycle. So the actual net cost of these buy downs mm-hmm. to these buyers is not net positive. It's just another way to, it's like pay, buy now, pay later sort of American.
I think it allows people from an affordability standpoint to get into a home. I mean, to me, $500 a month is pretty significant.
Well, it makes or breaks their capacity to afford the house. Mm-hmm. So I understand why they're doing it. I'm not like against these at all. Mm-hmm. I'm just, I am curious. It would be good in the interest of just transparency for our industry to be showing how those numbers play out over time.
I agree. But I also think it's the same thing of when we're negotiating and a buyer says, you know, I want $5,000 in concessions. And 99% of the time, they don't want it off the price of the home. They want it for rate buy down, or they want it for their closing costs, or they want it for, like, there's so many other things. Like, people just...
I agree. I think you're right. But I suppose it's a little bit like student loans, right? This is our society. Our society doesn't think about the long-term implications of those numbers. We just want to make it affordable now.
And also you have to remember, not everybody's going to live in that house forever. Like, for some people, this is a...
They aren't. But then when they sell this one, they'll move into another one and they'll still have that $10,000 of additional principal that they have to carry forward. That's how I think about it.
Really, it's going to depend on that price point. But if we're looking at $10,000 and they're saving $600 a month, we play that out over year one, there's $7,200 in savings. We play it out over year two, half that, still another $3,000. We just made up our $10,000 in what that initial investment was. So I think it's going to come down to what price point is and what you're actually saving per month on a $300,000 new construction. Can you get a new construction in the Des Moines market for $300? Close? No?
Not really anymore. Not really.
Yeah. Yep. So as it bumps, that's when it's going to be interesting to see how that plays out at that additional 2%, 1% of savings on interest.
You're for these as an idea. You think this is a good idea for most buyers now?
I think it's a good idea to contemplate for most buyers because of the fact, and we've talked about this, we were discussing it just a little bit ago, the date, the rate, the phrase that was out here for quite some time, makes us a little more nervous now that we're into a decent amount of time where we've been above 7, been above 7.5, and we're above 8. Think we're going to stabilize around 8 for a bit, but I think we're going to stay around there and maybe dip a little. But dating the rate's not something we can do anytime soon. We're not going to be able to change who we're dating. So we're going to be mm-hmm. stuck with this for a little longer than planned. And I think that's maybe where we need to have the conversation with our lender. Definitely, is this in the best interest of the buyer? And we have that conversation, how long are you staying in the home? Mm-hmm. We tend to not, we don't have a crystal ball. And so when we think we're going to be here a long time, well, then what makes the most sense? Well, relocations, family growth, needing an extra bedroom, that changes pretty quickly sometimes.
Yep.
I saw a lot of pushback on date the rate as well this last week.
Sure did.
Did you see that?
Lots of articles on that, which makes sense. I mean, it was a catchphrase that was all over social media.
But what's the pushback? I mean, they're saying, you just sound like another realtor suggesting that I should not worry about the implications of this purchase. I mean, I get it, right? It sounds
a little pushy, a little salesy.
Ill-advised.
Yeah. Yep, absolutely.
So are we scrapping that phrase?
I think we can move away from it now that we know that we're probably going to be staying above 7.
Some long-term dating
here. Reasonable time. Long-term dating. So we're going to have to hope you like who you're dating here. What led into this conversation was also the fact that that there was a period in September where the effective rate of mortgages in the United States was below 6.5 because so many builders and developers were actually buying down the rates as an incentive to sell their new constructions. And so we were just kind of curious as what new constructions look like in your markets. What incentives in your markets are builders using to get their properties moved? Justin, this was unique for you because you said this isn't really an issue in your market.
No, we do have a lot of the 2-in-1 buy down offer
construction.
On new construction, okay. If you go with a specific lender, option 2, a lot of in house stuff is getting pretty competitive. you know, depending on people's situation, you know, I sent somebody in and they, you know, had an in-house arm with that specific lender. That was significantly less than anything else we could get anywhere else. So really dependent on the situation and what lender you're speaking with, because it changes so quickly depending on your buyer. I mean, it's very buyer specific. There's too many products for, you know, you don't want to put a buyer in a box. You know, you really want to find the right thing for them. And that's why when we were talking about some of this too, I was just thinking in my head, are we talking to the average consumer or an individual that's an investor? Because, you know, you're talking from an investment standpoint, it doesn't make sense long term. But for these people that are forced into these situations from divorce or having to move for work, we have to find a scenario for them that works. And so we're just molding that to that specific buyer rather than thinking too long term on it, mm-hmm. Unfortunately.
You're looking at me.
Well, you know, I think of that just like you do, and I run those numbers too. But for the average consumer, 95% of the people that are buying homes, I mean, they're really looking at the short term, unfortunately.
And I don't want to flog a dead horse on that. I think my interest in bringing that up is similar to the date the rate conversation. I'm interested in our industry and how we're perceived by the consumer.
Yep.
And I think when we said date the rate, marry the house, I think it was a little bit like when we say now's a great time to buy, now's a great time to sell. I put myself in the shoes of the consumer and I'm like, do you guys just sound like a bunch of talking cheeseheads that like, and to some people we do. Right. So I think date the rate, marry the house, date the rate is dangerous language because sometimes it's terrible advice for people. And in a similar way, sometimes a buy down, people should be thinking more long-term and we need to know our audience. Our audience isn't thinking long-term. So I'm not saying we shouldn't be pushing these. I actually think they're the right vehicle for most people in the situation right now. I don't like that. I know that most of our realtors aren't educated fiscally enough to be proffering these in a way that's fiscally responsible and that the people they're pitching them to probably aren't thinking about those implications. And I'd like us to be better educators. I'd like us to understand those numbers and I'd like us to pitch these to people with that in mind, not pitch them. Does that clarify that? Because Gina, you kind of looked like you were annoyed with me when I was shooting down buy downs.
You've definitely beaten the horse. It's dead. We don't even talk about this anymore, Dylan.
I think it's a big horse right now.
I'm giving you that look because I would hope that you would have the confidence in me and knowing that every client that I'm working with, we are having consultative conversations mm-hmm. and that this is just a vehicle. This is just, I think the worst thing that we can do anytime you're consulting, whether you're a doctor or whatever you're doing, is not giving the patient, the client, the person, every option available mm-hmm. and letting them run it. And I am not the lender. I am here merely to say, here's one vehicle, here's another vehicle, here's another option. What works best for you? And I hope that all of us are that way. I think that's the way we've been trained.
I think we're not. I think you are. I think many realtors aren't. So I think that's why it needs to be said, because we're talking to you guys as pros. There's a lot of people in the marketplace that don't think that way. And I've seen a lot of markets and I've seen where every real estate sign out there didn't have the purchase price on it, but it had the monthly payment. All they pushed was the monthly payments. And this was 2005 mm-hmm. before the major crash, because everyone was just thinking, well, jeepers, I can afford that new construction house. Look at the payment. Mm-hmm. And these were 5-year ARM payments that nobody was thinking through. So no, I mean, don't take that as certainly I know that you're a pro in those conversations. I think our industry isn't. And when these new things pop up that are the new hot whatever, Crocs or whatever it is, now it's these new Birkenstocks with no, but for real, I just think we have to rise above that and count the cost and really think it through. So there, I killed the horse.
We can move on. Yes,
it's dead. I think what adds to that is the fact that we have so many agents that have entered this industry and all they've known is the last 3 or 4 years. And so when we look at how many realtors join nationwide, how many even in the state of Iowa, you know, we went from just a little over 7,000 to over 8,000 in 2.5 years. That's a lot of agents that have no idea what 2008 to 2018 looked like. Yeah. And so when we have these catchphrases, it's all they know. It's what they do. I still saw somebody post the other day, and we're going to talk about this, but they posted on social media, certain as a Facebook post, that, you know, why rent when you can buy? you know, which is really interesting to talk about in this market, because for the first time in decades, it's more expensive now to effectively get a mortgage and pay that mortgage on your average sale price, even in the state of Iowa, than it is to pay rent. And so we're at a different time now where we're going to have to be those counselors, where we're going to have to sit down and say, is it the best time for you to buy? Maybe you should be a renter for a little bit longer. But I'm curious, what are the conversations with someone that says, no, I do want to buy. I'm renting right now. I want to start gaining equity. What do those conversations look like when you have a buyer that you need to maybe slow down a little bit and say, we're not at the point where we should? Have you had those conversations?
Yes, I've had those conversations, and I think that's why it's important to have the consulting from the beginning of what payment is comfortable for them. You know, that's always a question we ask in our first appointment. It's never about what are you approved for, but what is a comfortable payment? And then we, a lot of times, will then work things backwards. And as I'm on the phone and I hear what they want as a payment, and I know what's out there that's available in that payment, mm-hmm. I had a single mom who, was renting and really wanted homeownership, and, you know, set her up on the search and saw what was available and what worked in her budget. And I just said, I just don't feel comfortable. I really don't. I don't want to put you in a position that is going to make things worse for you. These homes are not in great condition. They need a lot of work. And, you know, maybe we just need a bit more time to get more down payment, and to feel more secure in this market. It's hard to say that because I also don't know what the future is going to look like. There's lots of opportunities that my husband and I passed up from an investment standpoint that we regret,
yep,
you know,
absolutely.
That I was like, oh, we just need to have more money down. And then we get more money down and then it's still more expensive than we can afford. So, yeah, I think those conversations can be tough, but I also, part of what we talk about is, you know, this is your biggest investment. I want to treat you as if you're a part of my family. And I'm going to be honest with you. Like I would be if you're whoever, my sister, my dad, my best friend, whoever. Yeah.
You know, interesting, because we know about 1 in 4 buyers out there right now are saying, I don't really even care what the interest rate is. I want to buy. So it doesn't matter if it's at 4%, doesn't matter if it's at 8 or 9%. I want into home ownership. I want to do what I know is best for me in the future. And so this might be a great way to approach that is, hey, interest rates are at 8. You know, what's the price point you're wanting to do? Here's the payment you're going to land at. Maybe we need to start with what payment are you comfortable at and almost reverse the process. Well, if you're comfortable at that amount, we know what the interest rates are. This is going to tell us now what price point we should be looking at. And if there's something in that price point that intrigues you, let's rock.
Let's do it.
But the answer is that there's nothing in that price point.
And that might be.
No, there's nothing, literally. Like there are no homes for sale in that price point. No, I'm not trying to be facetious. That is the problem.
It's hard for me because when I first started out, like my market was mostly first-time home buyers, and my average price point was probably $150,000. And I know that was 10 years ago, but we could find some really good,
absolutely,
safe homes. Safe meaning like they weren't going to have to do a lot of work inside of them. And so I knew they would be good and they would be, you know, there were things that they could change to make it better, but like they were going to be good. And I just can't, I mean, it's not even feasible now.
When you have properties that almost double in value over the course of 4 years, that's going to happen. Yep. And so when we talk, 10 years isn't that long ago. And so when we think of what was real estate like, interest rates weren't amazing 10 years ago, but values were affordable. And now we've seen, you know, we talked about this, an extreme acceleration of appreciation with an increase in interest rates. But, you know, I'm curious to have Dylan bring up his topic that he always brings up about how dangerous it is to bring down our interest rates quickly, because we're still seeing an appreciation. Justin, you were talking about this downstairs, that properties are still going up in value. And what price point did we, or what appreciation do we most likely see here for the next year or two? Are you thinking, what are we seeing in Iowa right now?
Well, I think we talked, it's just going to be under 3 next year, like high 2s, but we've been seeing it consistent. So I think where a lot of people are confused are, appreciation went up so quickly uphill, but we're still going uphill, just slower. And, you know, the other thing, though, that I know you mentioned 1 in 4 don't care about the interest rate, but 1 in 3 still think we're going headed to a crash. That's a stat from last week.
Yeah.
1 in 3 still think we're going to have a crash. So it's the other thing on why I think we're so safe in Iowa is on why rates can, or why appreciation continues to go up. We have so many people coming to move to Iowa. So many retirees. Yeah. We're noticing a shortage of ranch style houses for retirees. And so that's why, you know, you talked about what's a safe purchased ranch homes always were, but now they're starting to get, you know, priced out of those first time home buyers. So yeah, it's a tough market, but at the same time, real estate is still a great investment. Mm-hmm. And that's being said from people, that's somebody that's still buying today. You know, I'm a buyer in this market. So,
well, let's talk about that a little bit. And Gina, I'm not sure on this, so you can kind of fill us in, but are you both working with investors, or have investors kind of pressed pause right now in waiting to see what happens with rates and with values?
I feel like the majority of my buyers right now are cash buyers. And so
as investors or
both?
Really?
Mm-hmm. A lot of it's, like I said, people moving into the Iowa market from large markets that were sell-offs. And so they're taking that equity, retiring into town. Also, it's a great opportunity because a lot of cash buyers know that prices are, you know, they're not getting into bidding wars. So they have an opportunity to get that price point rather than seller concessions. We talked, you know, rather than getting the buy downs, they could just get a lower price point. And they buy it for cash. And
they would prefer that.
They would prefer that.
Yeah. Yep. Well, if it's cash.
Yeah. Or, you know, 50%, you know, just high cash mm-hmm. purchases.
A lot of my business, from when I got started, I have a lot of investors. I would say that most of them right now are still wanting to see things. It does feel a little bit more of a normal market from 8 years ago, where we knew from October to December there were deals to be made. Mm-hmm. So I feel like a lot of my investors are calling us. We're seeing stuff. Not always, you know, if there's like multiple offers, they're like, yeah, we're not going to participate in that. But we're looking at a lot of things that have been on the market for quite a while. We can get back to those searches, right? Yeah. So like, you know, like two to four weeks on the market versus, and then they'll a lot of times take a look at it. Like if it hasn't sold yet, they're willing to take a look at it. So investors are back out. I think that mine are not as
rich
as I don't have as many cash buyers, but yeah, there's definitely, my investors are kind of coming back out, which is kind of, it's kind of fun to get them back out. And we're starting to see some crazy stuff again. Like for a while, everything was in pretty good shape, or we were missing out because of multiple offers. But now we're back to seeing, like I just put a house on the market or under contract for $65,000 in Sherman Hill. That's going to be a complete teardown. And so it's been a while since I've been in some of those houses where, you know, you have to bring hazmat and all that stuff. So,
well, and wild too. And it made me laugh that you said that, you know, the houses that have been on the market for a while, 2 to 4 weeks, right? I mean, it's just, it's such a wild thing to think about and discuss that 2 to 4 weeks in our markets is a while on. It's, you know, looking at the IR stats that came out, we're still just over a month of normal days on the market. Hasn't really changed year over year, where I think at 37 days somewhere on there in the market, properties are still getting almost 98.5% list price to sale price. So even though we're a month on the market, which is a while in Gina's eyes, we're still seeing that properties aren't seeing significant reductions in price. Yeah,
40% of them have had price drops at this point relative. Right. List price to sale price to me is a little bit of a bogus data point. Half of properties almost now are dropping their prices, mm-hmm. and that is yesterday's number. And 2 days ago, rates went to 8%.
Right.
Obviously, proverbially. I think that we haven't yet entered into the market that we're actually entering into. I think, like, some stuff happened yesterday, and we're about to feel the impact of it.
I think that's fair. We're looking back right now. We're in a market update. We're looking at September, which was still a better weather in Iowa, but we've seen differences, you know, changes in our interest rates, changes in approach to our economy. I think you're right. And even in September, we were still seeing significant price reductions. And so it'll be interesting to see as this data comes out month over month, are we seeing more price reductions, and are we seeing a change in what that list price to sale price is? If it stays the same, we know that it is bogus data because it's taking off the fact that there's been some reductions. Days on market will be an interesting one.
I also think that we're also behind on when we're consulting with sellers, right? For like, you know, if I meet with a seller today and we're looking at pricing, all of our data is, all of the data that I'm looking at is from the last 3 months, which is different. I think our sellers they're getting better. I've seen seller behavior change in the sense that they don't want to push it as much, but I still feel like they're like, well, let's just put it out at here. And then after a couple of weeks, I had a seller who was like, I want to do a $15,000 price reduction on a 275 home. And I said, the data does not show me that we should be going that low. We're getting tons of showings, lots of people who are interested, but buyer behavior is not indicative. It's not making them want to like put an offer in right away.
You said this was how long on the market that they wanted to do the 15K
drop? It was like 2 weeks.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And this wasn't you telling them to. This was on their own volition.
Yes.
Yeah.
You're telling them not to.
I'm telling them not to.
Can we debate? Because I think they should be.
So the reason, I mean, I didn't feel like they should because I'm looking at the market, her home, how it compares to the other homes. Also seeing on a weekly basis, nothing else is selling. I know that pricing wise, I thought we were a little under market from the value. We were getting showings. We just could not get anyone to make a decision.
Why?
Because I think buyers are paralyzed.
And I think they will be for the next 3 months.
They were also looking, like the comments that we were hearing were completely bizarre. Like we didn't like the light switches.
But what's really going on underneath the light switches?
Yeah, they're scared. They're worried.
And why?
Well, because they're going to be spending a ton of money on a monthly basis for a house.
8%.
Yeah. I mean, $500 more than what they would have
a year ago. So tell me why your people shouldn't go down by 15 to 20 grand.
Because I think she had a lot of fear and she was afraid. And
does she have a timeline?
This was a home that she bought as a divorcee, as a single mom. And she is now married, remarried after living in it for 5 years. And she had rented it out and did not have a good experience being a landlord. And so she was like, I just need to get it sold. I'm getting nervous. And so even when we did drop it and actually she wanted to drop it. I had the paperwork signed. I had two agents that had a lot of interest. And I said, let's just wait a second. And then we got an offer in.
So this sold.
It's under contract.
So you were right about the price then.
Correct.
No, this is good.
Correct, it was.
You held the line and you still got it sold at the higher price point.
We did.
Okay.
We negotiated back and forth, and even in the negotiation, she was like, I'll take this. And I was like, okay.
Okay, but this is very specific to this individual, and maybe we shouldn't get too specific.
But I'm saying, I think it depends on, because I have other sellers that got fairly good offers on million-dollar properties and didn't accept them. Even when I'm consulting them and saying, hey, we have a 12-month inventory in this price point.
Yeah.
This is a really great offer. What is your motivation? And they're like, no, we'll wait. And then a week later, they're like, we should have taken that. Can you go back and ask for that back?
And there's a difference between those two stories. And what I'm trying to look for is some sort of general, not rule of thumb, but maybe that's everything's bifurcated right now and everything's market specific, but my thesis that I'm operating on right now is, and this is what I'm talking about looking back versus looking forward. My thesis is this 8% thing was a psychological barrier of note. The data that we're looking at is fundamentally than yesterday's data. Mm-hmm. And that these people that are quote unquote on the fence, like I'm asking everybody, what's going on in the market? What are you feeling? What are you feeling? Because I'm very interested right now. And everyone's saying the same thing to me. Oh, my pipeline's full. I've got lots of people. And then I'm like, okay, well, how's sales? And they're like, well, they're all just kind of on the fence right now. And I think that fence was something that we could talk through in the past. You could like guide them. You could buy down. You could whatever. Buy down, maybe you could still do. But I think that fence is a real fence. It's more of a wall mm-hmm. at this point. I don't think the wheels are falling off. I don't think the market's going to collapse. I think there'll be a lot of sales still. I think that a lot of these people will not be transacting in the next 3 to 6 months.
I agree.
And I think that if that's true, then many of these listings are at a price that fundamentally, by definition, they're overpriced. because the price is the price that an active buyer in this market will actually pay for the property. And at 8%, I think a lot of buyers will not now be paying what most of these sellers are listed at. So when I ask about the $15,000 price reduction, it's not about the property. It's the proverbial property that's considering a price reduction. But we're going like, well, we don't think you need to, because so far our anecdotes are, no, these things have actually ended up selling. And I'm curious if that's true for the next 3 months. Because I'm actually projecting that, and this is counter to KCM, this is counter to all the data right now. I'm contrarian at this point. I think price reductions and reduction in average sale prices are in the books now. And I think it's a wonderful thing. Like, I want the value of my real estate to go down in the next 6 months. And KCM's still saying, no, I think prices are going to hold. And they're probably right, because there's a crazy floor. The floor that we've got in is just, there's no inventory. Mm-hmm. So anyone that does need to transact still has to do it at this $15,000 higher price, right? So anyway, my thesis is prices are coming down. What do you guys think about that?
I'm just going to go back and say, I do hope your real estate goes down, but not mine.
Not yours.
We're good. So many pieces.
It'll go back up.
It will go back up. And I think that's the thing. As soon as those rates start to drop, we know that there's going to be so much pent up buyer demand that we're going to see so many people rush the market. And so not only are prices going to appreciate, accelerate ridiculously fast, but we're going to see the same thing. Multiple offers, people being outbid over and over again, extreme frustration, but even more buyers entering the market. Going back to what Gina was saying about the price point, I think what she's doing is what we want all of our agents to do. And I don't know that most of them do. And it's an assumption, is just that moment of pause of, should we do this? Because the easiest thing to do is panic. And as a real estate agent, how can I sell your house the fastest? Make it the cheapest, right? And so I think as an expert realtor, she did exactly what she should have done. And I think that's a great representation of how Gina does business, is we could take it down 15 and we could sell it really fast. I think I can get you that $15,000. Now, is that always going to be the case? No, but at least we pressed pause and talked about it, because most agents will be like, oh, you want a price drop? Perfect. Here we go. Let's market the price drop and let's get it sold quickly, because now we're going to get you even less than maybe what we could have.
Well, and we're all feeling it. I mean, there's a couple listings that I'm like, man, I think I need to get fired. Like, I'm doing everything I possibly can. And like, I don't know what else I could be doing differently. And so I know a lot of the agents out there, including myself, are looking, it just feels weird because it hasn't happened for 2 or 3 years. So, I'm fortunate that I had a little bit of experience before the market got to be here. So I can draw upon, okay, what was it like? Okay, in 2013, like, this is, you know, I can take a step back, but man, it does not feel good. And so if you have a client that's like, well, we got to drop it. And it's like, we had a good conversation. I had been doing weekly updates on what was selling, what wasn't. I felt like I had a pretty good pulse on the market. I was getting feedback, sharing the feedback. I was doing everything I could. But I knew her personally, and I didn't want to leave money on the table for her, knowing that there could be some things that came up during the inspection. And so there's lots of things to consider when someone wants to reduce. And on the flip side, I have lots of people that need to reduce, and I'm having those same conversations, the weekly updates of what's selling, what's not selling, what's happening in the market, and I can't get them to move. So,
well, and to Dylan's point, closed sales in the state of Iowa, which is a company, we're doing better than what the statewide data says, but we were down 18% of closed sales in the state of Iowa in September, and your pending sales were down another almost 18%. And so if we look at that year over year, knowing that not only are our close downs, but our pendings are down, what does that mean for the next 3 to 6 months? Yeah, it might mean that values are not only stagnant, that values might actually start to decrease as we see more and more price reductions.
Mm-hmm. You guys see, there was some, I probably saw it on TikTok, I hate to admit it.
You said you were off of that.
I am right now.
Okay.
Yeah. For a day. He's going to be back and complaining about somebody else.
I won't say any names, but there's someone else in my life that I was like, you need to get off this thing. And so I made a pact, and I'm like, we'll both get off together for a week. There's a lot of good data on there right now floating around. But no, it was about Zestimates. And I actually thought it was one of the most fascinating things I've heard in a while. And it's that we now, for the first time in history, have a unique psychological problem that is impacting sellers and their psyche and the market. And it's that at any other time in history, when you bought your house for $300,000, 5 years, 10 years ago, and it then appreciated and then depreciated and appreciated, but overall it appreciated an average rate of 3 to 5% a year. And then 10 years later, you decided to sell your house. You sold it for $400,000, and that was a net realized gain of $100,000 on your house, which is huge. It's 33% on your investment, and everyone celebrated that. Well, something changed a decade ago, and for the last 5 years in particular, all of us have these little magical financial apps on our phones that are connected to Zillow that connect our net worths or whatever to Zestimates. And every month, like it's like the Robin Hood effect. Everyone's checking their stocks. Everyone's checking their 401. And now everyone's checking their real estate. And for the last 5 years, they watched the real estate go up and up and up. So what happened is they bought the house for $300,000. And then it went up to $450,000, $460,000, $470,000. And now they're coming to market and they're selling it. And they're selling it for $400,000. And they're realizing a net loss in their mind of $60,000.
For sure. Yeah.
And never before has this been a thing. But all of a sudden, people have lost their perspective. Now, in the short term, they did, I guess, lose that. If they had sold a year ago, they would have realized another 60. But it's all fake. It's all play. It wasn't. And at 8%, the house is no longer worth 460. No one will buy it at that price. So I think there's a psychological clog in the pipes of in the toilet of real estate. And it's going to take more pain for sellers to... Basically, something has to be a force stronger than that force of loss, that perceived loss of 60,000 in my narrative. There has to be a pain force stronger than that on the flip side. And that's why I think the next 6 months, some of this pain is healthy. And we do need to realize that loss because it's not a real loss. It's a loss relative to a bubble inflationary period of two consecutive years of 20% appreciation on those properties. It was never really worth 460. There's one reason it was worth 460 2 years ago. Any guesses what it is?
The buying power of somebody else.
Because of 2.8% interest rates. Mm-hmm. That was fake. And it's only because of that injection of fake buying power that it was ever supposedly worth that. But that was the illusion. And if you capitalized on the illusion, good for you. It's kind of like buying NFTs. If you bought an NFT at the right time and then sold it, I guess it was worth that. But the truth is, what was the NFT always worth? Nothing at all. It was all illusionary. And so I think that's what we're overcoming right now in the psyche of our seller clients. And I feel for them. It's painful, but it's why, Travis, I make inflammatory statements like, I want my real estate to go down. What I really am saying is, I think that as a society, we all need to deal with this pain. Because once we do, we can all move forward and get back to our gains. And that rhymed.
I think what's curious to me on this one is for Justin, where interest rates aren't mattering right now. And really it sounds like in your market, even values aren't mattering because you have people coming in with cash and saying, we're going to pay what we have to pay.
I think it's a very price specific.
Absolutely.
Is what we're talking about because, you know, we've got a lot of first time home buyers that are working with other agents, bringing in offers that they thought that they were at 6.2%. Mm-hmm. And they didn't, you know, once the offer was accepted, they went and checked their numbers. It's like, oh, it's 8% today. So that's a different price point in that, you know, 275 to 500. Mm-hmm. But the individuals who are, you know, in those lower price points that are normally investors or the higher price points who are likely, you know, have a lot of cash on cash, it's really not as important to them in the long run. But yeah, that mid, those $350,000 buyers right now, it's brutal.
And you're seeing inventory remain pretty stabilized. You're not seeing an increase in inventory in your market, is that correct?
No, we talked about new construction specifically, and as soon as a new house is fully ready, finished, ready to tour, I mean, that house is sold. It's just that we do have a lot of new construction under construction that is not, but our regular inventory is way down.
And that's where, again, it comes to the stats, and they're not market specific. So we look at this, Justin was talking about, he's part of DMAR. And so even though DMAR might see that, you know, they're only up 1.6% in inventory year over year. Well, the state of Iowa is up almost 13% inventory year over year, and that's in September. And so those statistics, even within the same MLS, when we pull those, you're saying that, no, our inventory is not increasing at all. We're still struggling with inventory. Gina, what do you see in your Urbandale Ankeny offices or markets when it comes to inventory right now?
I would say there's still not a lot of great inventory for first-time homebuyers. Mm-hmm. They're still pretty much priced out. There's a lot of inventory in those higher prices. I'm seeing construction, lots of deals going on now with construction. My phone is ringing all the time from builders, sending me stuff and calling me. And, you know, if I show one of their properties, it's almost like stalker level. they're offering a lot of incentives. D.R. Horton, is offering like 3,000 additional, for commission. I mean, just crazy stuff. So, and there's even things I'm seeing, new construction coming down on pricing, which a lot of them have notoriously never done.
I think it's just beginning.
So I have some clients who intend to build next year, looking at land right now. They probably will want to be in like the 700 price point. And I'm meeting with them this weekend, and I think I'm going to say, hey, let's go look at some things that are currently built in this price point, because we might actually get a pretty good deal. If, you know, you're open to that. If I, you know, sometimes people just, you know, they want to build for the sake of building, but we haven't sat down with the builders to really get pricing yet. So I think that might change as well as we meet with them. But it's very bizarre, the things that will sell. I had a South of Grand listing that they pushed the price a little bit. I said, you know, if you want to sell it quickly, this is a strategy. They didn't want to do it. We had multiple offers. Interestingly enough, multiple offers were anywhere from 10,000 under the list price to 30,000 over. So it's, I feel like I have a personality disorder, because you just, there's no rhyme or reason why things. And so I'm actually just honest with people. I give them the data. I tell them anecdotally what's happening. And I say, but there's different situations. There could be someone who wants to be just in this house and in this neighborhood, on this street. And then there's the one that I was just talking about that was 275 in Beaverdale. Great location, great price point. And nothing in that general area was selling. So I wish I had a better pulse on like what's working or what's not. I do know that there are definitely price points that are just sitting. And we have an overabundance of inventory, especially in the $1 million price point. So,
Dylan, you mentioned that you think this is just starting with builders getting much more motivated to clear their inventory. Are they slowing down with new constructions in your markets, or do you think they're still maintaining pace and still just wanting to get these sold as quickly as possible and offering incentives?
You asking me?
I'm asking anybody in your respective markets.
Well, 50% of DMAR's inventory right now is new construction.
Wow.
And it is sitting, and they are offering a lot of incentives. Mm-hmm. And that is why I know prices will be driven down when 50% of your market is in a category, because the other stuff's turning over super quick. So I know that the average sale price data that KCM and all of them are talking mm-hmm. about will be suppressed in the coming months. Because all these new construction properties will be pushed down and will sell at a discount, because there will be some deals to be had. The other data on that, to answer your question specifically, is we are now at a 30-something year low in terms of new starts nationwide.
Right.
Builders have backed all the way off. And this is like the worst thing I could ever have to report on, because this is feeding into the problem. They're adding to the floor. My whole thesis is we need pain, we need prices down. But if they stop building, which they have, we're going to come into the spring. I mean, all this new construction you're talking about might be sold at a discount, but it means that by the time we get to March, April, when and if we have a recession, and when and if we end up with some interest rates coming down, we're now going to have another inventory deficiency, right, creating another floor of upward pricing pressure. Yeah. So, I mean, guys, it's truly one of the most like complex situations you could imagine a market being in. There's clearly forces driving prices down, mm-hmm. And there's this unbelievably powerful floor still holding everything up. And it's like that pressure of those two things. At some point, something pops, yep. right? And I don't think it pops super bad. I'm excited for what happens. But yeah, to answer your question, yeah, build, I think you saw the data. Did right. you see that yeah. article?
Yep.
Builders have stopped building. And why? What would you be doing right now if you had a bunch of inventory sitting that you're offering incentives on and paying buy downs on that you have short-term financing for? Remember, these builders don't have 30-year loans on these construction projects. Now, they've got 20 or 30 or 40 or 50 houses sitting out there gathering dust that they're now making mortgage payments on. And those mortgage payments are on adjustable rates fixed to prime that now are above 8%. Mm-hmm. So these guys are hurting. And I'm not trying to be super negative, but it is the fact.
Reality.
These builders are going to start hurting, and they're going to need to sell these things at a discount. And they're going to stop building because they don't have cash to do it right now. Their cash is going towards carrying costs on these yep. properties. It's a bit of a conundrum. And what does that mean for the spring? It means we're going to have less houses to sell. It's absolutely crazy to me. Thank you, COVID.
and this leads to conversation that Justin and I had earlier, is that, and he's talking about training his agents, but also in how he converses with his clients is, you know, we can't control some things that are happening right now. We can't control interest rates. We can't control what our inventory is doing. So that's a hard conversation as well, is how do we react to something like this when we have no control over it? Makes it difficult as a real estate agent, makes it difficult as a home seller or a home buyer, because it's not things Gina mentioned, like I should get fired. Well, there's things that you can't control to get that property sold. So how are you talking to other real estate agents that you see in your office that are on your teams when it comes to the fact that this is a little more difficult than what it has been the last couple of years for them?
I think a lot of it is, you know, we talked about there's so much instilling of fear on all of these channels, whether it's social media, newspaper. What are we doing to counteract that? You know, between agent to agent and then agent to clients, are we upholding that fear in conversations in the office, or are we still, you know, this real estate is a long-term thing. It shouldn't be a short-term game. So at the end of the day, what are we doing today to continue to educate, to continue to learn, and continue to communicate that effectively to everybody around us? Because if we can manage that 1 in 3 people still think that there's going to be a crash, if we can get that to 1 in 4 and 1 in 5, to really start to back that off, I feel like we're going to be much better. And what are we doing today? Yeah, we all are a little bit slower, but are we perfecting and learning and getting our systems in place? Because that pent-up demand is coming, and it is going to happen, and we all know it because of the shortage of homes. Interest rates are going to go down. When is that going to happen, and are we ready for it? And so that's the conversations we need to be having.
Good.
I love it. I say a lot of times, my favorite thing to say is control the controllables, right? So I say that to my kids. I say that to my husband. I say that to everybody. So it's no different with my team. I definitely, last year at this time, we were actually having similar conversations of what we're having right now. And that was, hey guys, I don't know what the next 6 months are going to look like. So what are the things that we can control? And that is, how are we talking to people? A lot of the things that Justin just said, are we meeting with people? This is when I double down. This is when I'm in open houses. This is when I'm meeting and having coffees with people. This is when I'm making lunches. This is when I'm forcing myself to go out in the evenings and network when I don't want to get out. So that all of these conversations of people come, oh my God, what's going on? What do you think about the rate? What's happening? I get everywhere I go, I get asked about right. it. And so I think having a positive mindset, I don't listen to a lot of this stuff. Like I listen to KCM and I pour into listening to Buffini, and I'm not on TikTok. I don't listen to a lot of that noise for today. So yeah. And the other thing when we talk about control the controllables is let's control our spending. How are we spending when we are getting money from our commissions? What are we doing with that? You know, I do not be controlled by having commission breath. And when you're meeting with clients, you're focused so hard on like making money from them that you aren't being consultative, right? So how are we spending our money? Yeah.
Commission and breath?
Yeah.
Never heard that
before. I hadn't either.
I love really?
That. Yeah.
That's really good.
You can, right? Have you like been anywhere and you're being sold on something?
My
husband loves it because I cannot be sold. Like whenever we go anywhere, he's like, if we're getting like furniture or whatever, he's just like, this is just going to be so incredibly painful.
My wife is going to eat you and chew you up and spit you out.
I can't be sold. And so you can just feel it. One of my cousin is a broker in Phoenix. And when I was getting into the business, I asked him, you know, give me your best advice. And he said, don't ever count your commission. Like, don't ever look at that. And that's how I feel now. You know, we got to batten down the hatches. We're looking at all of our systems, our process. We have a client party coming up in November. And, you know, how can we make that a great event? And how can we connect with people? So I think it's just setting our systems and ourselves up for success that when it does happen, if it's, you know, sooner than what we thought it would be, like it was last year, or if it's going to take longer because of what's going on in the market, like this is a long-term plan. There's going to be highs and lows, and we just have to have a positive mindset going into it.
And, you know, I've, as you've been talking, just scribble things down the entire time because it's what's fun for me, but from both of you, the big theme has been educate. And I think it's not just educating our clients at this time. It's educating the public, the general public. Like Justin said, we have to be the people that say, hey, you know, 1 in 3 think it's a recession. We need to get that to a much lower number. But it's also educating the agents that we work with on a day-to-day basis. And thank you. That's why you're here, is educating our agents and what's going on so that they know, number one, they're not alone, but number two, there's different things going on in all of our markets that are very unique. And Dylan brings this up all the time, but our real estate is very hyper-local because we have some markets right now that are just going crazy, and we have other markets that are at a complete standstill, and it makes it really interesting throughout our company. Final thoughts.
My final thought is there always going to be people buying and selling. So at the end of the day, our goal is to get better every single day, regardless if the interest is 8% or 4%, you know, people are going to be buying and selling. And what are we doing to set ourselves up for success 6 months from now, a year from now, 5 years from now? And so, I'm really blessed, to, you know, obviously have the year that we have had, but at the same time, looking forward to the future and really excited to, like you said, begin to educate. Now gives us a little bit of time to do that. You know, we've been so crazy with the hustle and bustle that we haven't had that opportunity. Now let's educate ourselves to educate others and really take this time now to do that.
Thank you.
That's awesome, Justin.
That was awesome.
I would say all the same things. The positive mindset is going to be the most important thing. As we move forward, educating yourself from a standpoint of, do you really know what's going on in the market? I don't know. Someone told me, and maybe it was Dylan, that it's like, you know, people will put, here are the monthly stats on your Facebook or your social media. And what does that say to a consumer?
Right.
And how are you really understanding those? And getting out, I mean, even if you're not super busy, I think even just getting out and seeing what is on the market, let's say you don't have buyers, but you have a listing coming up and you're like, man, I don't know what to do. Set up appointments to go see all those houses. We now have time to do that. Mm-hmm. So go set up appointments and see what's on the market and see what's selling and what's not, and become the expert of your market. Because we have the time. Invest in yourself, invest in what's happening. Be cognizant, listen to these podcasts, look at the stats, know what you're talking about. And overall, just have a positive mindset of I'm still going to be honest. I did just get a text message coming in here. Had a client who was supposed to list in June. It's a rehab. There was lots of delays. It's probably going to list next week. And she just said, I'm really worried. I should have listed 6 months ago. And, I have to think about exactly what my response is going to be. Cause my response would be, yeah,
told you so.
Yeah.
And so that's going to be a difficult conversation to say, you know, now the comps, of houses similar to yours are, you know, at 300, and we initially had talked about 350. Mm-hmm. So let's talk about your goals and figuring out what we want to do. And I just think people want you to be the educator. And the best way to do that is, like I said, we have time now to watch the KCM report. We have time to talk to Dylan about what's happening in the market. So educate yourself, really.
Perfect. Thank you. Dylan, I want a final thought from you today.
I was wondering what that look meant.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I'm. This has been an insightful conversation for me, just trying to process as well where we're at as a team and a collective. Justin, you say, yeah, people are still buying, right? Like this, and that's what KCM was really on about this month. And I felt like they were beating their drum a little too loud, to be honest. but it's true. The truth is that we sold more houses as a team in the last month than we sold last year at this time. And part of that's because we've been focused on what we can't control, Gina, right? Like we've been focusing on, like Justin, you're way up. A lot of our agents are up, right? And our teams are up and we've brought on a lot of good people. And a lot of our new people, we've been training the fundamentals for a long time and they're inching into the market share. So we were selling 7 million units a year nationally or 6.2 at one point recently. That's down to 4. Mm-hmm. And the seasonal rate of that this winter will probably be down to high threes. But that's a heck of a lot of people buying houses still every single month. So there's no question there's still sales to be had, Justin. And then, Gina, on your point about mindset, my insight from this conversation, it's a little bit like archetypes. All agents aren't alike. So there's a Stoic philosophy that I'm all about. It's called premeditatio malorum. It's premeditate or prethink about the bad. And Gina, you're a 6 on Enneagram, right? You're nodding mm-hmm. at me. And I was thinking about Megan Mitchum. Like Megan Mitchum's an enthusiast. She's like, focus on the positive, create positive energy. And you, Gina, you're like, oh no, I've already thought about like so much bad. Like I don't need more bad in my life. My takeaway is mindset is the winning formula. And we've all got to approach it kind of our way. So when I have these conversations, I tend to sound almost negative. And it's that principle of mine. I'm like, no, let's put all the reality, all the negative, all the ugly nuts and bolts, all the crap in front of us. And let's be honest about worst case scenarios and the truth of the situation and losing money in our real estate, Travis. and that way we can confront what's in front of us and go and attack it and win. But my takeaway is that's not maybe everybody else's best strategy. And so take your meds, right? Figure out what you've got to do to position yourself to win in the next 3 to 6 months. What we know, regardless of how you want to approach it, it's not going to be the easiest market. It's a very challenging market. It's very confusing and tricky. And our clients are, this client you're meeting with Gina next week or this week, they're not in the best state of mind, and understandably so. But we can't help anybody unless we're well positioned first. So I think you're dead on the mindset, and you got to figure out how to dial your mindset in your way. So yeah, I think that's my closing thoughts. How about you?
I like it. No, I think that's the one thing we have to keep in mind is that we have been trained and we've been training our agents to do the little things right. And when you do all the little things right, there are still buyers and sellers out there that need representation. And that's why we're ready for it. It's what we just keep doing is what we're already doing. And that's why we're going to be in a good spot. All right. Hey, thanks guys. Let's make it a good one.
Thank you.
Thank you for joining us today. For more episodes, resources, and show notes, head to morethanmorepodcast.com.